given them to me. I pray, Lord, that you will filter out anything that is not right, not good, not beneficial, not edifying, but rather that everything that is said and done be to your glory and our good. Bless your servant. Bless our hearing, that we would hear and receive what the Lord is saying to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had Sunday school this Sunday morning, and it was good. It was good. There was a small group, but we enjoyed thoroughly what the Lord had to say to us. Amen. The Lord wanted me to bring to our remembrance the Shema, the most important of all the Hebrew prayers. Shema meaning hear. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Actually, when you go back and look at the Hebrew, the translation's interesting. It says at the end, with all your muchness. Isn't that something? With everything. The Lord is one. The Lord is everything. Love Him with everything. All the time. I love that. But that's not my text, but that it works. It goes along with this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you have scripture, your Bible with you, by all means, open it. We should have on our PowerPoint. I did that, and there it is. There it is, 2 Chronicles. It was requested, and we better pay attention. When people ask good things, we should go ahead and do good things. So praise the Lord. We want that the text is right there for you to see, and this is it. If my people, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I don't think I said 14, 7, verse 14. If my people, that's us, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our land needs healing. Our community needs healing. Our country needs healing. Our world needs healing. And God has made a promise. If we do thus and so, He will hear from heaven our prayers, will forgive our sin, and heal our land. Amen. That sounds good. I trust you're somewhat familiar with that text. We've used it many a time. It's a very familiar and good scripture to commit to memory. But this is a huge event in its context. This is 2 Chronicles, as I said. This is the time of the dedication of the Lord's temple, the permanent temple, not the tent that was taken up and taken down again and carried about as the Hebrew nation went from place to place. But this is where God says, this is where I will dwell permanently, in Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem is Israel. It's the city of David. It's the holy, eternal city. It is Israel. It is God's promised land to a chosen people. Of course, it should be the capital. That's an aside. If you're following the news, that's a major issue right now. I'm going to go there to Jerusalem and tell them so. Like I have any authority. But I'm going to go there and pray. Actually, I am going to go there. Praise God! I'm so excited. Going to the city of David, the city of lights, the eternal city, the city on a hill. Going there. Whew. Exciting. We should all go. Amen? Okay, we'll make a plan. All right. Since the church is helping pay my way this time, I'll pay for the church next time. Yeah! I meant to say, I will help. I'll cover a dollar on each one of you. $1. Do I hear two? I don't think so. Anyways, there you go. So hugely important. God is saying, this is where I will dwell. This temple. And big things happened at that dedication. In fact, so big, the glory of God filled the temple. So much so that the priests who had this big plan of how they're going to worship and praise God, they could do nothing. They fell down on their faces because of the glory, the Shekinah glory, there's a cool word, of God, filled that place and absolutely brought them to the ground. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was glory. Come down. I'd like that too, please. In fact, this was huge, 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 huge. Hallelujah. It's the dedication of a holy people and a holy temple. It's the dedication of a holy people to humility, dedication to prayer, dedication to relationship, dedication to repentance, and dedication to righteousness. This is what's happening here. And you know, as I read this scripture, I suppose it would be easy for these verses to become somewhat formulaic, if you will. Cause and effect, sort of a promise from God. Step one, be humble, check. Step two, pray, check. Step three, pray more, check. And step four, repent, check, recheck, recheck. You see what I'm saying? Repent, 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 because you sin, 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 don't we? Then God will hear our prayers and respond favorably. Amen. Sounds good. There it is. Done. No. If my people who are called by my name, my people, my name, this is what God is saying. We need to begin by identifying who we are and whose we are. Huge. Huge. God is dedicated to us. Are we dedicated to God? He actually is dedicated to us. In fact, Jesus dedicated his life and death to us. Quite literally. Could you be so dedicated to God? God has dedicated the history of everything to us. If you follow the story right from Genesis 1 all the way up to the crucifixion of our Lord, it's the story of God's dedication to bringing us back into relationship with Him. That's the whole story. It's on and it's true and it's absolute and it's beautifully laid out again and again. We just see how it is. It's glorious. But we begin by identifying with who we are and whose we are. I belong to God. Do you belong to God? Of course you do. I am not my own. I have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Well, listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Do you hear the call to dedication in those words? Of course you do. The next word that jumps out to me is called. Called. As we read before, if my people who are called by my name, that just set me back. We are called by God's name. I mean, we can take that a few ways. I imagine we can take that a lot of ways. But here's two. We are given a new name. When I adopted my sons, their name became my name. My name became their name. They were called Marchuk. They were grafted in. They became my sons. Just as God has called us and has given us a new name, His name, we are sons and daughters of God. We're God's kids. We now carry His name. We are little Christs. That's what Christian means. Little Christs. little blessed souls, joint heirs with Jesus. Can you imagine? God wrote us into his will. That's glory. In fact, joint heirs with Jesus. He's the firstborn. But we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. I can barely grasp that even a little. We are adopted in. We are family. That's what God did. We are called by God, by his name. Many are called, but few are chosen, God's word says. We are invited into relationship with our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we are called into. That's what we are called to do. The entire redemption story is that way. We have been called and called and called by God. Listen, we are called out like Abraham, out of the family and lifestyle, into a holiness, into a set apart people. We are called out like Joseph into suffering to prepare the way of God's plan. We are called out like Jacob and his 12 sons into Egypt, into God's provision, lest they die. We are called out like Israel to be God's chosen people. We are chosen people. We are called out like Moses to speak against the wickedness of this world, of Pharaoh. We are called out like the nation of people of Israel from the bondage and slavery of spiritual Egypt, which is the sin of this world, all that is corrupt. We are called out like all of God's people through the spiritual crossing of the Red Sea into the baptism of Jesus Christ. We are called out like Joshua and a holy nation crossing that spiritual river Jordan into God's promised land. Listen, we are called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We agree? We are called. We are chosen. We are called. Praise the Lord. I could go on with these stories of God's relentless love for us, but we need to move on. This is God's dedication to us and the necessity for our dedication to him. This is a covenant. Covenant has two sides. It's an agreement. And there's an agreement, and then amen. I will do my part and you will do your part. This is covenant. This is wonderful. Isn't that what the blood represented, that wine? This is a new covenant in my name. We have something to do here. Every great work of God, every great move of the Holy Spirit has to do with covenant. There's something required of us. And it's so simple. And it's yet so hard. Prayer. Prayer. Every great revival has been born of prayer. But not just superficial, namby-pamby prayer. It is dedicated, persistent, sacrificial, fervent, passionate prayer. It is sleep-depriving, appetite-denying, corporate, separate, secret, public prayer. It is whispered in your prayer closet and shouted from the rooftops, prayer. If you think there's any other thing you can do that will move God more so than prayer, I can tell you, you're wrong. Prayer. We say prayer changes things. Amen. Prayer is powerful. That movie, that story got it right when they described that prayer place as the war room. Get on your knees and pray. Pray for this community. Pray for your children. Pray for my children. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaderships in government of all sorts. Pray for them. Pray for wisdom for yourself and for all others. Pray for protection. Pray for provision. Pray for salvation. Pray. James said this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You pray for someone else that you may be healed. That might have something to do with hate and anger, unforgiveness. If you hate someone, pray for them. We're to pray for our enemies because you've already done something wicked wrong if you hate them. Pray for them because prayer is lovely. And love will fill you and you will be healed of that acidic hate. Just saying. The effectual, this is James going on here, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the King James. I love the way it's said there. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Basically, availeth much means gets a whole lot done. That's good. Prayer gets things done. Fervent. I love the word fervent. So I looked it up. I figured it meant something good. I mean, if it's fervent prayer, I figured it was like persistent and passionate, and of course it is. But here's what the definition is: showing ardent or extremely passionate enthusiasm. Do you pray like that with enthusiasm or, oh God, it's me again. Gimme, gimme. Of course not, we wouldn't do that. But with passionate enthusiasm, listen to what it says about fervent, glowing hot. Fervent, your prayer is glowing hot. Whoa! Not lukewarm, not cold, not indifferent. Fervent, hot, passionate, enthusiastic, glowing as a result of intense heat prayer. Let's work on that. Next time you pray, pray fervent. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man gets a whole lot done. But first, we must humble ourselves, because it says we must humble ourselves. And everywhere in Scripture, it talks about what pride is like to God. We must humble ourselves. If my people who are called by my name, yes, will humble themselves, it says, okay, we can do that. When referring to someone that is prideful, we often say he's so full of himself. I hope you never say that of me. He is so full of himself. Think about being so full of yourself as there's no room for God. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you're full of yourself, there's no room in the temple for the Holy Spirit. That's why I pray, Lord, empty me out. Drain out all that is not righteous, all that is not of you, and fill me with your presence. Since our return from sabbatical, and even before our return, I've had such a discerning in my spirit that we are being called to prayer. Prayer. Oh, that's the simplest thing. Are you kidding? That's all? Prayer? Yes. Attendance at last Thursday's prayer time was awesome. First Thursday since I returned, and there was seven of us. That's awesome. Yes, it is. That's more. You know, it'd be even more awesome. Not awesomer. More awesome or awesomer? 20. You know what'd even be better? 40. 80. 1,000. What if? We meet on Thursdays, and the Lord said, that won't do. How about every day? How about every day that the church is open? Now, I'm saying this is, again, not every day, but Tuesday to Friday, from 10 till 5, this building will be open, this sanctuary will be lit, and you're invited. In fact, you are needfully invited to come and pray fervent, hot, burning prayers. Please, find time. Schedule it in. ask God to remind you. And if you find you're driving by and, you know, there's that church that's open that I could go and pray in, pull over. Walk in. Get on your knees. Pray. Please. We are called to pray. I was so blessed to see all those dear folks here, those faithful prayer warriors, joined together in prayer in such wonderful oneness. But first, like I say, we must humble ourselves and empty ourselves. And then, if my people who are called by my name seek my face. Now I'm going to say it again. If my people who are called by my name will seek my face, guess which word jumped out at me at that point? That's like giving you the answer. My. Isn't that wonderful? Kind of important stuff. Facial recognition. A lot of computers can be open, a lot of tablets and such, and phones can be opened by facial recognition. That's kind of cool. But it needs to first know what the face looks like. It can't just be any facial recognition. My phone won't open up with Doug's face, although it's close. And if he just turns it, Anyway, it has to be, there's detail, there is specifics, it's looking for key points. It knows that face, and that's important. Facial recognition, God wants us to recognize his face. Do you remember that movie, Peter Pan? Not the original or the other original or whatever, the one with Robin Williams, which I really liked. Yeah. He's grown up, and he's Peter Panning, I think, or something, Panner. And he's an adult man, married, and he's got a couple of kids of his own now, and somehow ends up back in Neverland, right? Isn't that right? Yeah. And one of the lost boys is you're not Peter Pan. You're not Peter Pan. But the one of the little boys goes over to him. Come here, Jude. And he takes his face like this. And he looks. He goes, there you are, Peter. He sees him. But you got to get that close. And if I was looking for my Judy in a dimly lit or a busy, crowded, I'm looking for her face. There's other people that might wear similar clothing or have similar hair. I mean, you don't know how often that happens. You got to be careful coming up behind, you know, like your wife or whatever. You go, hey, honey. And you go, that's not my wife. You know, I mean, I could line up a half a dozen ladies in our church and I'm telling you, they look like they could all be cousins, you know, short-ish, black hair, you know, about shoulder-ish length, and a sweet, cute young lady. I'm doing it right here. And you know, they could be Spanish or Mexican. They could be Asian. They could be, you know, Anglo, whatever, French. They all kind of look the same from a distance. Be careful. You know, get her on the side. Yep, that's her. And then grab her. No, don't grab my wife, though. She's mine. She's my Judy. But isn't that the truth? We need facial recognition. God says, seek my face. Don't know me from afar off. Get to know me close up. Close up. How do you get close up to God? Well, of course, it's through the Word. It's through prayer. It's through fellowship. Because we all resemble our Lord, by the way. We all have a somewhat of a resemblance. So if we know each other, we know God's word, we are all fellowshipping, we are in closeness through prayer, and all of the above, we're going to get to know and be that familiar with God that we're face to face. Moses was described as knowing God face to face. And you know what happened is all the people of Israel, they were so afraid. So Moses went up the mountain, as it were, and he spoke with God face to face, and the rest, they hung back. And he came back from there, and they went, Moses, we don't want to get that close to God. You go, talk to God, come back down, tell us what he said. Well, that might have been fine then, but it's not fine now. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be the Moses that goes and talks to God and then comes and tells you what he said every Sunday. You talk to God. You go find out what he has to say to you. And I'll find out what he has to say to me. And we'll all find out what God is saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, not to the pastor. I mean, yeah, he's saying lots of stuff to me. Like, constantly. Wakes me up in the night. Downloads it so when I open my eyes in the morning, there it is. I'm telling you. He's talking to me constantly. He had given me this sermon long before I wrote it. It was all there. And then I sat down and typed it out. Because God was talking to me. Because I'm praying. Because I'm in his word. And you are too. Amen. But there's one more thing. If my people who are called by my name turn from their wicked ways. This is where we lose a lot of people. Wicked ways. They take offense at the idea that their ways are wicked. Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm most certainly not wicked. I mean, look at wicked. Wicked is this and that and the other. I'm not wicked. So soon we are in need to referring back to humble yourself. Pride says, I'm not wicked. Pride says, I'm better than that. Look at him. Don't look at me. No, look at you. Look at you. Look at me. Look at every one of us ought to look at themself. I think I said that right. If my people will turn from their wicked ways. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you commit murder. And if you lust in your heart after a woman, you've already committed adultery. And furthermore, if you break any one of the commandments, you are guilty of all. And then there are those who believe they possess the gift of condemning, judgment, of destructive criticism. Those are not gifts. Those are terrible gifts if you think those are gifts. And then there are the two-headed monsters of envy and jealousy and the ever-popular anger and unforgiveness. Of course we're wicked. If you've even broke one of the commandments, you've broken them all. One of them is thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not speak ill of one's brother. Thou shalt not covet what is not yours. And then, of course, pride. Hate pride. Oh, these sins, they are deadly acid that destroy the vessel in which they are contained. I will conclude like this. Every truth in God's word is under attack. Every Christian is under attack. Every Christian home, every home is under attack. Every pastor is under attack. Every church is under attack. And we are being called to fight back. In prayer, on our knees, fervently. We need to establish a war room of prayer to defend what is ours and to break the gates of hell. We are to be on the offensive. Remember, Pastor Judy, you said, the gates of hell don't move. So if we are to break the gates of hell, bringing them down, that means we got to get on the way somewhere. We got to move in prayer. We got to be on the offensive. We got to be on the attack and take back that which the enemy has taken from us. He's a thief. He stole something that doesn't belong to him, and I want it back. He's stealing our children. He's stealing our marriages. He's stealing our relationships. He's stealing our peace, our hope, our joy, our love. He's a thief, and enough's enough. Amen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We are God's people. We are called by his name. We are called to humility. We are called to repent. We are called to prayer. Will you answer the call? Let's bow our heads in prayer. John, will you prepare that short little video clip? Judy's going to play some music. Today, I don't think we're going to end with a song that we will sing so much as we will have music and an invitation to prayer. You can stay a minute, you can stay an hour. I'll stay as long as you stay. If there's one person left praying, I will be on my knees next to you. Or we can run out of here in a hurry and say amen. But we're going to watch a short video called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And then respond however you see fit. I'm done.